It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 20th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, Kodak is widely expected to have a moment. By that, I mean the company known for the iconic Polaroid camera will probably release a smartphone. Maybe? A phone would make sense, considering Kodak has in recent years seen the decline of not just film, but the point-and-shoot camera as well. If this all feels vaguely familiar, well, the Rochester, New York-based company has released a phone before. Remember the IM5? No? Launched at CES in 2015, Kodak's first phone didn't exactly give Apple and Samsung a run for their money. Second time could be a charm. CNET editor-in-chief Lindsay Turrentine is here with more. Hi, Lindsay.
It's nice to talk to you.
Lindsay, we should start by saying that this is rumored, and all we really have is, ironically enough, photographic evidence.
That's right. There is a photo out there on the internet that was supposedly leaked, although it may have been an intentional leak, of the bezel of something that could be a phone.
It looked phone-ish.
It also looks a little bit like a camera.
So the smartphone market, we thought there were plenty of players, and yet here we go. We got Kodak.
That's what we hear. There's a rumor that there will be an announcement about a Kodak phone. And actually, this isn't the first time the Kodak brand has hitched itself to a phone. There was one released to European markets. And the idea with that phone was sort of, here's a phone with a great camera, which you would expect from the Kodak brand, but that it's otherwise easy to use, not a high-end phone, just for people who want something simple and to take photos. That didn't play super well. You've probably not heard of it since, and it was only in Europe.
Kodak kind of built its brand on analog photo technology, right? What do you think the company might do to make its smartphone stand out from the crowd?
I think it's going to have to continue to use that brand. And it may do something like position its phone to be the perfect phone for social media. Right now, so many people care almost as much about the photos they take with their camera as they do about the phone calls they make with their phone.
If they even do that
anymore.
It's
a horse race. If they do that, exactly.
We'll have to wait and see, I guess, if Kodak has another moment. Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET. Lindsay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ben.
By the way, my marketplace compadre Kai Rizdahl interviewed Kodak CEO Jeff Clark recently. You can find that at marketplace.org. Earlier this month, we went to the New Yorker's Tech Fest event in Manhattan, which included a conversation with Janet Murray. She's interaction designer and director of Georgia Tech's Experimental Television Lab. We caught up with Murray backstage to talk to her about the future of television. One of her inspirations for that future actually comes from the past, a TV show from the 1950s called Winky Dink.
Boys and girls, whoever has the magic red crayon, come right up to the magic window because I want you to do some drawing. Get comfortable, come on up to the magic window, and draw a red flower in Cousin's...
Maybe one of the early examples of interactive television programming. I asked Murray why she chose to study television as a means of studying interaction.
I think that we're living in a very privileged time where we have a new medium for telling more complicated stories to one another. And I thought that television was one of our most developed story forms, so it was a great place to think about how stories were getting more complicated.
And as they get more complicated, we're talking about maybe being able to interact with those stories?
Interact with them? Well, first of all, just navigate them. So we want to navigate them across threads rather than to watch one episode at a time. We'd rather just see the characters we like in a series and follow those threads.
So you think maybe there's like a future of television content that might have you say, oh, you know what, I don't really care about this main character, but this side character I'm kind of interested in, show me more television about this person.
Well, I think people already do that. I mean, I fast forward through some of the plots on Game of Thrones and watch others. And I like the young girl.
Arya.
Yeah. So I will watch anything with Arya in it. And as soon as we have these different technologies of transmission, they open up the possibility of more active viewing.
You wrote a book called Hamlet in the Holodeck. It looks at narrative storytelling in the world of technology. Give me an example of an ideal story told in an ideal way.
There are going to be interactive modules that will accompany immersive worlds where a person could live in that world and have a parallel experience to the experience of the main characters. Mm. So if it were a science fiction story and there was a siege, then the people in the interactive world would also experience similar tests of betrayal and cooperation as the people in the main storyline. And that would reinforce the sense of story immersion for them.
Janet Murray is a professor, interaction designer, and she directs the Experimental Television Lab at Georgia Tech. Janet, thanks for chatting.
My pleasure.
And this is a week where we've seen Google release its own phone, the Pixel, and Apple reportedly pull out of building an autonomous vehicle as originally believed. So I have a question for you. Apple or Google, which of these two companies is winning the war in hardware design right now? I posted this query on facebook.com/marketplacetech. Let me know your thoughts there if you dare enter the debate. Keep it clean. I'll be looking for your comments. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.